All right, family, we have a special guest today, Big Rob. Exclusive.
Yes, sir. Exclusive.
Exclusive guest today, the uncle of George Floyd, Mr. Selwyn Jones. How you doing today, sir?
You know, man, I'm going to say that I'm in South Dakota and it's not snowing. So I'm okay. I'm 50-50 right now.
You're 50-50.
Are you?
I know you're watching the trial, right? Are you watching the trial? Or is it too emotional for you?
You know, man, I'm an old country boy from North Carolina, Jim Crow South, and we as black men have been dealing with controversial things our whole life. The only thing about this one is this is the most controversial thing that we as human beings have ever seen. And I cannot stop, keep myself from watching. And I find myself watching and my heart just breaking because they've showed the way that he died, I don't know, probably 10,000 times, getting different angles. And my brother, let me tell you, I found out by my sister calling me after me watching it for 3 or 4 minutes and not realizing who it was. And she called me and I sat back and I looked. And he had to wait to die. We had to watch and wait for him to die. Because you know what, man? If you looked at that video for 5 seconds, you realize that he didn't have a chance to leave. You realize the only way he was going to leave is dead. So my brother, I watch bits and pieces and I listen, you know, I listen until I get irritated and I see that the system is doing everything they can to manipulate the system. So they get an unhealthy result. And, you know, stop. Horrific. And basically what I'm saying is I am broken. I am hurt. The reason why I do what I do is because I'm obsessed with trying to make a change. Because I'm not going to let my nephew life mean nothing. And like I said, the biggest civil rights, the biggest movement of any kind was my nephew. And I owe him the right to have his back and to make all the changes that I can. But yeah, man, all I'm doing is sitting and looking. I'm going to leave today and I'm going to go down. And it's just dog. Imagine watching your favorite, one of your favorite people, somebody else killing him. He's begging, he's screaming, and somebody else is killing him. And they don't act like they're doing a damn thing wrong because I'm doing my job. And I've seen that today, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. And yeah, man, it's bad how folks have done black folks all these years. And the name that they started with was slave patrols. And guess what, man? He sure did a hell of a thing in catching my nephew. Because he did exactly what power and control and racism does. It dominates and controls you. In the real old days, if they couldn't control you, they killed you. Then if they couldn't control you, they locked you up in jail. And what we saw on May the 25th was by far the worst thing that any human being has ever. If you saw that, if you're looking at television, and your heart don't ache for him, for his family, for the baby, you ain't got a heart, man. You ain't got a heart. Every night, for the last 2 nights, I've been sitting, and it's the hardest thing in the world. Just grasp this. That was my nephew. That was the little boy that I played with, buried, locked in the car. Fought, wrestled, held up by one leg. Everybody in the world, and look at the resemblance. He's a little darker. I'm a little shorter. And I get to see somebody that looks like me that got murdered And man, you know, sometimes I sit back and I think, man, God, is this really real? You know, my people will call me. Out of all the people that would have been George Floyd's uncle. Wow. So, you know, man, I'm doing what I can do. I'm doing my part. We just know as black men how things that are supposed to go one way don't go that way. And, you know, like I'm saying, I hope the judicial system do what it's supposed to do. Seeing is believing, my brother. Seeing is believing.
Are you happy with how the state is presenting its case?
My man, I am happy that the process has started, because those that need to heal, it'll start. They've been doing a fantastic job, but once again, I just want the judicial system to do the right thing and do. Their job is to incarcerate criminals, people that commit crimes. I just want them to do what they're supposed to do. You know, I am impressed or glad what they're doing. Because honestly, big fella, it don't matter to me. It does not matter. All I know is for the rest of my life, I don't get to see my favorite person. And because I've been black for 55 years, coming from the Jim Crow South, where a black man is still a boy in many instances, I just want the process to happen. I always say, I don't want you to do nothing special for me. I just want you to not hurt me like you don't hurt them. And don't put me in the same situation that, yeah, I mean, you let them slide. So my fingers are crossed, man. That's all I can tell you. My fingers are crossed. And I'm about to drive myself crazy thinking that there might be a possibility. And I know, because you don't let nobody that murders somebody in the middle of the street in front of 6 billion people request.
Right. I think we might have lost some of his feed there. Hope we get it back. He's in South Dakota. Relied with Selwyn Jones, the uncle.
I'm back.
Okay, we got you back. We got you back. You there?
Come on, man.
We got you back. You're back on. Can you hear us? We got you back. Can you hear us?
Can you hear us, Selwyn?
You can't hear us?
I'm back.
Okay, yeah, you're back. Gotcha. You're back on. We got comments coming in. Big Rob, you got a question for Mr. Jones?
How is his daughter doing? Is she doing okay? Because she's got to go through a process too.
Thank God she's 9 years old. And when you're that young, you give them a toy. Take them on a trip. Yeah, take them to a little fun station, and that makes it easier on her. You know, but as she gets older, the true impact will resonate on her what her daddy did. Like I said, I ain't mad at no individual. I might be disappointed that people think that life means nothing because of the color of our skin. Think about it. $19 and 100 pennies. We're talking about my nephew. $19 and 100 pennies, or because of the color of his skin. So kids are residual, you know, strong. So I think she'll be okay because her mother, you know, has been giving her love and guidance and just supporting her. So she'll be okay, you know. I'm more worried about that crazy uncle. That's what I'm more worried about, because my man, everybody has a different agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since May the 25th, ever since May the 26th, my agenda has been to figure out how we can get qualified immunity demolished, and how we can stand up and be better human beings and be better people. And to have these people that think that they're better than we are because of the color of our skin, to just think, because my nephew died and he gave us a chance. Because before this, you weren't hearing a lot of chatter about peace. And the way that he died, it opened everybody's hearts. And if you're a mother, you cried. And if you're a dad, you definitely thought, wow, spell that with my boy. You know? So we got a chance. We got to do four things: communicate, conversate, educate, and irritate. Because we got to keep this going, man. All other little trends in the world, they wear out. They have a shelf life. Rodney King had a shelf life. He didn't do the right thing, obviously, but there was a shelf life. There is not going to be a shelf life on what George Perry Ford did for the world. Because this crazy uncle can't live without making an effort to show people that we're all the same. Black lives matter because our lives matter, brothers. White lives matter because their lives matter. Everybody's lives matter. The only thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to stop people from hurting us and putting us in situations. Dog, 400 years, systemic racism, bad housing, bad healthcare, bad teachers, bad education, bad jobs, bad life. Dog, what did we really do to deserve all this torture that we've been given besides be black? We had to negotiate whether we could go use the bathroom or eat at a place 55 years ago. We had to negotiate that. And here we go. 2020. A egotistical, overbearing, power and control absorbed white man puts my nephew in a maneuver, and he never once thought twice about doing it. And the bad thing that I see, he never once ever thought about not doing it, not continuing it. They touched him 2 times to get him off of him. You know what I'm saying? He's already dead. He enjoyed that. Hey, pull up lynching photos. Pull up lynching photos. You see how the white folks are standing there with the glaze in their eyes looking at the kill I got. That's the same kind of stuff we've seen these dudes do, man. And we got a debate. They've been debating for the last 3 days whether or not this dude is guilty. Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, all you got to do is close your eyes and you can listen the way my nephew was suffering and begging and asking, please, just let me breathe. And he was judge, jury, and executioner on May the 25th. And I wish that I could get this. I wish I could get this thing in my mind and just take it out and just say, hey, man, that's a cut and close case. We know he's going to be incarcerated. I can't.
Right.
Because we've seen this happen time and time and time and time again. And man, you know, all day long I've been walking around my motel doing a little pitter-patter, getting ready to leave. And it kills me, man. It kills me to know that I gotta do this. And hey, you know what? This job was meant for me. I'm the biggest mouth, loudest mouth person I know. And I ain't scared. I live in a town. Hold on, let me show you something. Hold on, wait, I want you to smile now. Wait. If you had a daughter, let me ask you this question. If you had a daughter, would you tell her that I'm a handsome man? You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Guess yeah. What? GQ thought I was handsome too, man. Whoa, big daddy. Wait. Look at Sister Mary Catherine. Bam.
Oh, wow.
Big Papa.
We live on radio. Mr. Selma Jones, a couple more questions before you go. Your sister was George Floyd's mother, right?
Her name was Larsenia. We called her Sissy.
Yeah. How long has she been dead?
2 years and 2 days before George. She died on the 27th of May, 2018. And that broke him up because that was his girl. Just like all country boys.
Right.
You know, you see kids get drafted. Thank you, mama. You see people, you know, graduate. Thank you, mama. And George went to college to play basketball. Steven Jackson, better ball player in high school. He should have been, had the shoe contract. He should have been on television. You know how it goes when you're the only boy in a family. And he said, we suffered when I grew up, and I'm not going to let my mama suffer. I'm going to not worry about my dreams. And he was a bad boy. I'm not going to worry about my dreams in my life. I'm going to see if I can make my mama's life easier because she's had a hard life as long as I've been living in the ghetto. The hood, food stamps, welfare, government cheese. She did the best she could, you know? And he said, I cannot go to school. I can't concentrate and think about my mama, how bad she's doing here. So he comes home to help his mama. And everybody has a patch in life where you wish you could stick your head in the sand. He was human. He was a human being. He had trials and tribulations. And the one thing about the ghetto, man, if you grow up there and you become, you know, pretty good at something, the ghetto will love you. Guess what the ghetto won't let you do? The ghetto don't want you to leave because the ghetto wants you to be that OG. And he ended up being that OG. You've seen him on videos with Scarface, those boys hanging out. And he never could figure out what, when, how. And then this is the daggone bad thing about it. He finally figured out, I gotta leave Houston because I'm not gonna make a change. And the only way you make change is you stop dealing with the situation and people and territory that you're dealing with and abolish it. So he goes to Minneapolis, make a different life, get his CDLs, and my sister dies, and that broke his heart. Think about this, champ. You know I could have been a top. You know I could have been a first-round pick if I would have stayed in school for that year. I didn't stay in school because it was more important for me to help my mom. And then she dies. And he made mistakes along the way. Got incarcerated. That eats on a man. You know? And he had 25 years to think, damn, man. We're poor. I grew up in a house without running water, without indoor plumbing. We had to poop in a bucket, throw it in the back side of the house, and when it warmed up, we'd pick it up and bury it. That's how poor we were. I don't even have any school pictures because we were so poor that we couldn't bury them. We couldn't buy them. You know? So, you look at all these dynamics, man, and you sit down one day and you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you got to make that decision to either go straight, go left, or go right. And he tried to drive in that straight lane. And, you know, man, demons are bad. Demons are bad. You know, right. We need to figure out something to make people not run to things that suppress and dull the feelings when all you got to do is make better decisions and fight, and you'll get out of that hole. As long as you wake up tomorrow, you got another chance. And you know, my man, he tried his, he was doing what he was supposed to do. And he went to Cub Foods. If you've seen the videos, Everybody in the damn store knows him. He's there all the time. Right. It ain't a particular neighborhood that me and you would want to go hang out in, because that ain't what we do. But obviously everybody knows. And this is what I honestly feel. Because he did not achieve the goals that from the talent that the Lord gave him. And he, like I said, demons are bad, make some mistakes. And the Lord said, today, it's going to be a day. Darnella Frazier had to take her cousin to the store to get a pop. George Floyd had to be at that particular spot at that particular time. And David Chauvin was the last piece. And what we saw is how power and control, domination, racism, systemic racism, hatred looks. And that's the first time we've seen it to that degree. Because, man, let me tell you, if you, and I'll repeat again, if you look at the television and you see all these people talking, do you have a heart attack? Is it what? How is it not? And you see my nephew laying on that ground begging for his life. And them white men standing over top of him, just like they've been doing forever. And they murdered that boy. And everybody wants to use every excuse in the world. He had this in his system. He had piss in his system. He had catnip in his system. You know, he had everything in his system. You're not supposed to get a death sentence because you're high. You know, you're not supposed to die because you're high. Take me to jail. Let me clean up. You know, and you're going to tell me if I didn't have a heart attack. Okay, because I was high. I died because I was high. But if he wouldn't have had his knee on his neck, you think my nephew'd be living today? I guarantee you, no matter what they say, he took this or he did that, his big butt would have been hanging around saying, "Ah, let's go, man. Let's go hang out, man. Let's go cook some chicken." You know? He can't do that because Derek Chauvin thought he should be judged, jury, and executioner. You know, man, certain things you look at and you say, okay. The way that he went at my nephew, my man, he went at him with an agenda. He had full intentions and doing bodily harm to my nephew. Like I said, you look at that video for 5 seconds and you realize it didn't dawn on you, but when you look back now, when you sat there and laid your eyes on that video, the next train of thought was, damn, this dude ain't gonna leave. This dude gotta die. So we had to wait for him to die before this, you know, went this way. So, man, you know, one day I wake up and I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm just possessed to have these conversations, to let people hear a real life story of a real person, which was George Perry Floyd, and told by his real crazy ass ugly uncle. You know? That was my boy. And hey, all question, I'm doing
is, for people who don't know, Mr. Jones, you own a hotel in South Dakota, right?
Yeah, don't come here. Don't you come here. It's cold. Black people don't like cold. And the second thing, hold on for a second, my man. Hold on.
Uh-oh. this is live radio on TV.
Okay, look here. See that right there?
Yes.
That's a handsome. The reason why that handsome fella was on the front page of the Star Tribune is the day that we put George the rest in Houston, somebody calls me and says, "Hey, man, do you realize you got a Confederate flag on your police uniform patch? On the police uniform?" Oh, man, you crazy as hell. I've been coming around here for 18 years. He was the only person in the town that gave me their condolences. Now, There's two types of people in this world. People that can't read and people that don't want to read. Well, I had my next door neighbor that borrows my $6,000 loan stand in a council meeting and say, why would we change anything in our town because of a dead nigga's uncle lives in our town?
Wow.
So I've had a Klan rally here. I've had the Patriots. I've had people park Confederate flags in my parking lot. And you can read them. You can see on Facebook. Did anybody get a picture of that big flag in the nigga's parking lot?
Wow.
1,200 people in my town. I've got 800 people that either thumbed up or said, go back to Africa. First of all, I don't want to go to Africa. It's too damn hot over there for me, okay?
Okay.
Then I heard monkey. Well, first of all, have you ever seen a black man climb a 5-story building without a rope? Nope.
Exactly.
You seen them spider monkeys on January the 6th doing that. So
exactly.
I have figured out a way that I use humor when I'm by myself at certain times to take away the pain. So, man, I live in a town that I spent pretty much half my life savings. Got a 7,000 square foot house, got a motel. And for all intents and purposes, I'm supposed to be sitting over on the corner of the lot, drinking a Pepsi, thinking, wow, I came a long way from Goldsboro, North Carolina, sitting on the back porch. And I was supposed to sit here. And I'm crazy because I got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. Yeah, I really wanted something fun for my 50th birthday. God, he's crazy, too. Anyway, but for all intents and purposes, I'm good. I sit here and the people come hunting and fish. Come on down. You know, as long as I didn't say I owned the motel, I was the hired hand. I was the help.
Oh, wow. You was okay. As soon as the word got out that you were the owner, that's what happened. That's where the problems happened.
Soon as the word got out that George Floyd's uncle, damn bag on it. Hold on.
He lively. If he ain't nothing else, he's lively.
It's in the blood, family. We're lively. George Floyd's uncle, Selwyn Jones. Thanks to Mel Lars for hooking us up too.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, man. What'd you say, man? If I ain't nothing else, I'm lively.
What's yes, lively? Sir.
I'm the damn GQ man too. You know, man,
yes,
I have to do this because if I don't, I'm crying every day. I'm crying every day because of the things that I've gone through in my life. And you know what, man? This is what happens when somebody, a white man, decides he's going to be judge, jury, and execution to your nephew after he did everything he wanted to do. And this is what happens to the uncle that traveled all over the United States trying to speak justice and equality, because we got to have somebody stand up and take care of our people and help our race, because we've had a lot of people not wanting to take that mantle. I want it. I got to have it. Hold on, where you at?
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll let you get that picture.
I ain't saving that. I bet you if I was looking for a bad picture, it'd show right
there. Right, yeah, right.
Damn, what it is, it's a meme. It's a meme. And what the meme says is, wow, you care more about a flag than you do selling dope to kids. Because, you know, every time they get pissed off at you, they got to say something to humiliate you or shame you. Because that's what they do. They result to that. Where is she at, baby?
A distraction.
And you know what? I've had every person in my little town tell me or write or say that you have absolutely nothing. Hell, I've been put in the town by the Democrats.
Oh, wow. So, Mr. Jones, while you're looking for this picture, since this all that happened with George Floyd, you don't had rallies there? Or people harassing you since this all happened?
Hey, man, I'm turning my back on you. Let me tell you something. No, what I'm telling you, my black hind part used to go running at night. This situation had brought me to believe that I don't like, we got a pheasant farm and people come out and shoot pheasants. Yeah, people are always asking, hey, Jonesy, you want to come shoot pheasants? I'll be the first one to tell you. I don't want to be in the woods with a bunch of white boys with guns. Simple. I'm just telling you. And what I'm telling you is, with 1,200 people in our town, I had 400 or 500 Trump signs hanging all over town. You know, I had a dude that I've known for 20 years. He went and got him a nice rebel flag and put it right in front of his house. And he called me and he says, hey, man, you know, if you stop being a douchebag and pick your town up instead of trying to tear it down. And I look at him, I'm like, dog, what if I said bad about my little good town? I love my little good town. It's just that some of the white folks that live in town that cannot handle somebody standing up for themselves and not taking their BS. Oh, I'm an idiot. I'm a nigger. I sell dope kids. And why do you want to assassinate a man's character because he doesn't believe or feel what you're doing is right? And that's what them folks do. That's what them folks have always done. And that's what they're going to continue to do unless we make a change. You know what, man? I cannot find this picture, but I'll send it to you because I got your number.
Yeah, so, I'll put it up when we do the TV edit.
Okay. What I'm saying is, okay, I'll send it to you. What I'm saying is this, y'all, is with people like yourself that give me an opportunity to take 15, 20, 30 minutes of your time and to let a real, authentic, old school, pig feet eating, watermelon eating, lappy, fat back. Oh, I got the fat back too, them greens. Somebody said, man, you know what? All right, do you ever write anything down? First of all, man, I'm not very smart. I rode in the front seat of the bus with the crash helmet on. And what I did is I learned how to win battles because I couldn't talk. You know, everybody our age, hell, they couldn't. They stuttered. Well, me stuttering, I was stupid. So I got picked on. I got beat up. I got my head put in the toilet. You know, because that's what people do. People are mean. The only thing that Selwyn Jones wants to do, and I had to do it, is make this world a better place for people that want it to be better. Because if I got to talk you into it, if I got to convince you that the shit that you say wrong, I can't deal with you because you're not interested to hear what's right. You can't read or you don't want to read. There's a whole lot of people, my friend, that didn't want to read that are reading now because the way my nephew died. Now, question. I'm asking you a question.
Yeah.
On January the 6th. Oh, wait. Let me back up. Do you remember the space shuttle 1986?
Yes.
Okay. You remember Desert Storm?
Yes.
You remember 911?
Yes.
We also remember 25th of May.
Yes.
Where were you at when January 6th come?
We was on radio. We was still doing our radio show. So we remember.
Was a radio show, and I guarantee you, the main topic of conversation was your heart went back to the day you seen George Floyd die. Because, brother, if you're black and you seen all them white folks climbing buildings, that's one of the top 10 secured places in the world, and I'm going to go and sit at the Speaker of the House desk and write her a letter, and nobody was giving them no resistance. The same daggone thing that destroyed and murdered my nephew was the same kind of folks that was in that Capitol building. Because the first time, the first thing we thought when we seen it, damn, son, you remember when it was so hot in Chicago 18 years ago, and they were stacking people in 18-wheelers because they were dying?
Right.
We would have had a damn massacre.
And right.
June or July, we marched across the bridge in D.C. 468 people got arrested within 4 hours. It's been damn near 3 months. What are they at? 10? 15? I know the reality, 130 or 40. But
right.
you see the point I'm trying to make? All I'm doing is they didn't shoot none of them folks. If we were in that same situation, we know without a shadow of a doubt, every black person, every person with a tan knows that if we were 5 feet from that fence, they'd have been singing an old Negro spiritual, Amazing Grace.
Exactly.
Because slave patrols would have been locked and loaded and ready to go. So just treat us like you treat them.
Wow.
And give us the opportunity to have a good house, to go to a good school, to have a good education. The reason why more black people die from coronavirus than anybody is because the history of our health care. So, man, for all intents and purposes, people don't give a damn about us. The only thing, late 1800s, the doctors from France come over here, and they said that the only thing a black man can do is, because his brain is a little bit bigger than a monkey's, he can be taught to be subservient by extenuating measures. You know what that extenuating measures? Put that whip on your hands. So they've used anger, violence, power and control to handle this for 400 years. And buddy, like I said, we can bang this out of jail.
Wow.
We can bang this out for 10 years.
Mr. Jones.
All I'm saying is we got to get better. Things will change. I hope that the folks give us justice. And thank you.
Can we get you back on?
Huh?
Can we get you back on?
Another
live
time.
Action, anytime.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to do a exclusive conversation. You brought up a lot of stuff we want to talk about on a redirect on another conversation. We don't touch on that. You have a safe drive from South Dakota down to Minneapolis. I know it's not that far. That's where you're going.
I ride in the back. Hey, do you remember Miss Daisy? Driving Miss Daisy?
Oh, yes.
Guess what, man? And unfortunately, there ain't no black women around here. So I got a beautiful, less melanated wife.
And okay.
She drives and I sit in the back. It's
okay.
About time black dude to be on top, man.
There you go.
I got me a show. Hey, man, I appreciate you.
Take care,
I gotta make you laugh. Make you laugh because that's what I do.
I have to
make myself laugh so I don't cry. Because tonight, tomorrow's gonna be bad. It's going to be bad when I'm in Minneapolis because I'm right there. And the only thing I'm going to think about, when your kids were 2 or 3 years old, the first thing you told your kids was keep their damn hands to themselves. All he had to do was keep his hands to himself. And we wouldn't be talking about such a devastating incident. But guess what? With bad comes good, because Uncle Selwyn Jones is going to make sure that my nephew didn't die in vain. Got to. So let's set up something so we can do part two.
Yes, and sir.
I'll make sure I'll be nicer.
No, you good.
You know,
you good.
I won't
good.
Say, you know what Melvin tell me? Melvin's like, man, you're in the real world now. So I would appreciate when you're communicating with people, do not say, one leg man in the ass kicking contest.
Good job, Melvin Lars.
That's what kind of chance my nephew had to live another day. Hey, man, appreciate you.
Thank you
for giving me the opportunity. I'll send those pictures and hey, hit me up soon. Let's do it later.
All right, take care.
Thank God you.